Radio Krishna eller Priyavrata Brahmacharya. Conceptual. This could be could it be its own podcast, Brahmacharya? Well, why not? Or a series on YouTube, that's probably better, because podcast seems to be a more general topic that could go on forever, such as cosmology. But the Brahmacharya should be a series, maybe a course, 10 episodes or something. Each one half an hour or so. Making it in total 5 hours. Well, maybe double that if inspiration comes, but something like that. And the purpose should be to inspire young boys and girls. Together under competent guides. And just as we did, they don't need to wait for elderly oldies to arrange it. We had to do it ourselves, learning by doing. But now the difference is that you youngsters still have us old timers who are now pensioners, one after another, and some are already on their way out from this world, so better act now. Because you see, we actually were, and I realize it now at old age, pioneers in the real sense. You know, we were out there on the streets for years, every day, selling books about Krishna. You know, 8-9 hours a day, 5 days a week. I did it in total 3 years, which was not very much. And those standards. Some had been going for 10 years. And learning the surrender, you know, how to dedicate your entire life, give everything to Krishna, give up your education, your job, your role in society, your good reputation, you know, old friends and family members all of a sudden thought you were crazy. And then, you know, finding ourselves here, most of us having gone through family life, getting you as our children and learning how to, well, I would say the great challenge of raising children in this age as a devotee. As little as you yourself when you were a child and a teenager especially wanted to be pushed into a religion or whatever your parents liked. But then rather, as a parent now, having to learn to support and guide by one's own example. And many of us now had time and want to get closer to the temple, and even that life which we lived then as brahmacharis. If someone asks me what I am now, are you a grahasta, or you're a vanaprastha, what are you? And you know, age 70 something, you're supposed to go into the next ashram. The sannyas ashram. So here I am standing and well, looking around and thinking, yeah, we did many good things back then. It was for real. We were just all the way in. But we were also making a lot of mistakes. So now some of us look back and look at the now and say, well, you know, now let's go back and do it right. And go back to what? Well, at Brahmachari Ashram, Brahmacharya, or whatever you call it, the, because what it really means, and that's the thing, it of course became a kind of, you know, social status thing. Only real brahmacharis, you know, are the real fixed up devotees. I mean, we had that attitude, maybe tried to hide it for the white ones, but not very well, I guess. non Swami. Look at me, I'm a sannyasi, a Swami with the danda and the beautiful silken cloth. Now I've got servants and disciples, and I get diksha, and I'm a guru. Get the best prasadam and a nice place to live, airplane tickets. And I mean, we have to confess, because we should first of all be honest, that, you know, some of us tripped into that. It's so obvious now, of course, so it would be stupid not to confess it. And why talk about it at all? Why think about it at all? Well, you know, because here I am, and others with me, thinking what to do now. What is this thing called brahmacharya and this thing called sannyas? They are very similar, of course. And they really, you know, they suffer from both. But it's really about, well, brahmacharya, meaning learning about Brahman, and not just philosophically, but by living Brahminical on the Brahman platform, not as on the bodily platform. And Brahman platform means Atma Tattva, Atma Rama, I mean it, understanding ourselves, because we are Brahman, and then you have God there, Krishna, the Para Brahman Bhagavan, and when we start to relate to ourselves and each other as the ones we actually are, eternal Satchitananda persons, then life gets real fun and life gets real. So that's what brahmacharya is about, to learn. And character building, and with that I much mean what I'm talking to my boys often about these days. Developing strength, willpower to act according to what we know is the right thing to do, no matter how you feel, you know. Well, if you feel tired or sick, then you rest and heal yourself. But, you know, just doing it for God. Goddess and this everyone in the world, parts of God. I am servant, not master, and I'm enjoying happiness in that way, not by trying to squeeze it out of the senses of this temporary body. You know, that understanding there, not just as a philosophy in the head, but, you know, equipping us for our lives. This is the way I see brahmacharya. And also, as we have spoken about here before, the I mean, the celibacy thing, I mean, what is that? It's about, not that ladies are bad, or, you know, something that we used to talk about then, but that, yes, take some time here, develop that character, that strength, so you're not controlled by your senses and your mind and all that anymore. And then you can actually be a good man for a good woman, because you won't exploit her out of lust. And you can actually get out there in the world, standing on your own feet, being a strong, good family person, because, you know, you have learned how to act in the sattvic way, the way that works and lasts and sustainable and all of that. So this is the way I see brahmacharya training, and both for women and boys, of course. It's good to take that training for a year or so before you really get into the relationship and romantics and all of that, because once you do that, I mean, some powers start getting into motion, which you won't have full control over, even though you might think so. The guy thinks, oh, I'm a big tough man here, I will show that little lady who's in charge. But nowadays, especially the ladies think and say the same. He may think he's the big tough guy, and yes, I will allow him to think so. But I know who's in charge here. So, I mean, that's what awaits us. And I'm talking to you youngsters, all genders out there. It means compromises, working on that relationships, as I say. But most of all, it requires a deeper respect, a real, not just pretentious, I'm going to learn how to behave respectfully by saying not the wrong things, but the right things. And this becomes a kind of social code or programming. But actual respect and actual love, actual compassion, but also, most importantly, seeing each other on the soul-to-soul level, not the body-to-body level or even the mind-to-mind level. Here we are, you know, and we're not standing here together and are supposed to be at each other's side faithfully and beneficially helping and strengthening and assisting and loving each other, not exploiting and whatever each other. So yes, that's the way I see that training, the way it should be, the purpose of it all, of this that we call brahmacharya. And here on the other side of the life where I stand, well, if someone calls me, asks me now what I am, my ashram, this and that, I sometimes just say I'm a kshetra sannyasi, I'm just staying at home now. And being back on my own, but with Krishna and the devotees around, and it's just much the same as back then in the brahmacharya time. And then I'm looking at the Swami's sannyasi ashram there, And yes, since I'm from those old days, I don't know how it is there now, but I wouldn't really want to step into that realm. It's comfortable. You know, you got the everything taken care of. It's maybe not anymore. Because anyway, sannyas is supposed to be, you know, as I say, social suicide. Just bye-bye everyone. It's just me and Krishna and my body, my mind, my words, my intelligence, everything, and my very self, Atman Nivedanam, I hereby give to God, dedicate to Krishna service, Gaura Thai Sankirtan movement. That's what it is. And of course, I'm sure many of those who are walking around in these sannyasi dresses today enter into that in that way, with that dedication, and still do. So all my respect for that. But you know, that's what the respect is due for. And that stick that you carry, that nice, powerful, shining danda, it actually symbolizes that. It's actually supposed to be the opposite of, you know, some kind of attractive symbol of intelligence and spiritual prowess. But all the, well, you know, to be honest, I mean, I have to tell you here. A few months ago, I sat in the home of an old, respectable Vaishnava friend I have, older than myself, and I would say very Brahminical person. Very intelligent and often giving very astute reflections on things that happen. And I was kind of just laying it out for him. Then, you know, what should I do now for the rest of this life? Should I you know, is there another woman waiting there somewhere for me and who I am for? Or I even thought, well, you know, there's sannyasi waiting there for me. And then he laughed and said, well, taking sannyas is the best way to attract women. Yeah, so, you know, name, fame, distinction and all of those things. When that stick that you carry should be your own reminder, a symbol for yourself and maybe for others, but maybe mainly a defense against whoever tries to hurt you or something, or to carry your bag on, because you're supposed to walk, you know, in India barefoot, hardly any belongings except what you can carry there in your little sack on your back. And that's it. Not knowing where to sleep next night, just depending on Krishna. Of course, generally you will be heartily invited by everyone, and offered gorgeous meals and luxurious rooms to live in palaces and whatever. And well, then like maybe next night you're sleeping under a tree. And you know, that's how we lived as brahmacharis. And And that's why I'm saying that also there was, due to, I think, the pioneer days, the spirit that was not, you know, yeah, now we're going to be pioneers. That's just what you stepped into. And for those who came earlier than me, 1978, you know, who were around from the beginning, they were real pioneers. I mean, what they did, just ending up there on the rice field of West Bengal with snakes and scorpions and mosquito flies, and then, you know, with the order to build a huge, big, nice temple there. None of them hardly even had any experience of building something. But, you know, we had to depend on Krishna. Just pray, Krishna, take care of this, take care of us, please. I'm yours. Surrender, surrender. And every day, you know, especially out on the street selling the books. So, for me, I'm just me, and I don't even want to call myself some title, this or that, but this is just me, and if you like to listen to me, then here I am. Want to talk to me, send me a note online and let's meet somewhere. If you're not a crazy, because we had so much craziness, I'm too old for that now, so basic straightening out yourself first. But you know, that's the idea, and this is, you could say, a manifesto of the Brahmacharya ashram. And I want to see me, Priyavrata Das, and I'm sending a prayer to Shri Gaunatay and Gandharika Girdhar. I would like to see that Brahmacharya ashram established there, new Radhakund in Grödinge of Sweden. And I offer my services, doing some whatever, lecturing or assisting in that program. And to think, you know, we've been talking about it for years, me and some other older devotees, Malva Puri and Ajit and Vegavan and others, Bhaktinidhi. But we're kind of getting too old for starting up new projects. You know, that's all we've been doing all life, at least for me. You know, how many projects I started up? And our last project was this family, with twin boys, which was probably the nicest project ever, but also the most challenging one, which is what we're talking about here, as a brahmachari, brahmacharini, to be prepared for that challenge, which could mean, you know, can mean much to the level of happiness and functionality in life that you will experience for the coming 20 years or something, 20-30 years. So yeah, so therefore my conclusion here, as it seems, as I stand here at the end of 2024, I'm talking to you youngsters out there, you do this, you go there. And you talk to them saying, look, here we have these, we have the yellow building there with all these nice rooms standing there, empty as far as we know. If they are, I don't know anymore. And over there is that Brahmacharya ashram, where you guys, or the pioneers, started their lives. Well, that's, at least for me, that's the case. I started my Krishna conscious life in a sleeping bag on the floor of the upper floor there, the still standing Brahmacharya ashram of New Radhakund. So it's a perfect place for Brahmacharya and Brahmacharini ashram, maybe. Or you have one ashram in Alnwick and one in Korsnäs. Maybe it's good to even split it a little like that, because otherwise we know by experience that mixing Brahmacharis and Brahmacharinis in New Radhakund can have certain implications. We even had that name for New Radhakund back in those days, New Honeymoon Kund. You know what I'm talking about. So in any case, I am mainly talking for the Brahmacharis and the Brahmacharinis. They can be taken care of by some, you know, the old Swamini ladies out there. Who were the old staunch Brahmacharinis back then, you know, and then have gone through the whole thing as well. Mothership. It's beautiful, all these experiences that we have gathered through, I would say, learning by our mistakes, at least. I'm talking for myself. But, you know, the school of hard knocks, or the tough school. I once went to a healer, studying, you know, one of those natural, talented ones, lady. And she was doing things there, I don't even remember. Putting hands here and there, and holding, and massaging, and pressing. And then she said at one point, "Do you want it the turbo way or the normal way?" And I answered, "Turbo." I thought, might as well get it over with, whatever it is she's saying. And I think I got it that way. My life has been pretty intense, and I have been pretty pushed from there, from behind, from above and within. Forward, forward, forward. But now, why am I talking about myself? Well, what I mean is that there are a few of us who got that kind of school and who are now happy too. I mean, just speaking for myself, to share whatever knowledge and experiences and insights that any of the youngsters would be interested in being shared by people like us old timers. So, but you know, I still think that that's what we've been talking about, this thing, a few of us, that is it ever possible? Well, it should be there, Brahmacharya ashram in New Radhakund. Shall you do it, or shall I do it, or shall we do it together? Well, we're, you know, we are already busy here, and we are growing old. You know, those who are like 7 years older than I am and who were the power players back then, you know, just driving on the whole. Movement. I have now seen that they are one after another stepping back, saying, you know, sorry, but the remainder of my years I will spend taking care of myself, my own spiritual life. And I understand it perfectly well, because one thing we did, many of us, I would say, was to basically sacrifice our lives, just give that life to others and spend every moment of it serving others, not caring about ourselves. And some became sick because of that, and still are chronically sick. So I think that, yes, when you get of age today, to just say, I retire now, I'm going, you know, do my own meditation as it feels good to me, and be Krishna conscious, God conscious, the way that feels natural and good and beneficial to me. And if I feel I want and can, and, you know, have the inclination to it, then I will serve others the way I see fit. I think you earned a vacation in your days of retirement. But then there are those who would like to, you know, still hang out here, wanting to teach and reading and writing and, yes, Sankirtan movement, Ki Jai. I'm not going to be out on the streets with a heavy book bag anymore, but I am here. And you can spread the knowledge in so many other ways now. Yes. Gaur Nitya Ki Jai. So yeah, you youngsters, here we are. And you've got the strength. You've got the connections. You got the youthful energy that you need to use for something good. Start projects, good projects, and work together in those projects. And you know, my little visions, I'm kind of a homemade visionary, it's just the way I am, and some call me a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I can even, you know, see the progression of that from, you know, just take it like this. If you gather, I'm talking to you youngsters, I know some of you that who have power of action, who have the leadership qualities, who can get things going if you fix your mind on it and just dedicate yourself to it and just continue and sticking to it, whether it feels good or bad or success or failure right now, because that's what it takes. Listen to us. Well, if you do that, and for instance, this is just an example, because my vision here is a little bigger than this actually. If, for instance, you start a brahmacharya ashram in your Radha Kund, I like practical things, not just talking theoretical philosophy. And, you know, speak to those who were there, Mukunda and myself and others. And we can tell you how it was done then, the ways we thought were really good, because it was really good, I thought. Simple, you know, just programs, morning program, full one from Mangalarti up to breakfast, and then a little Bhakta class, especially for the newcomers, and one after lunch, you know. Because breakfast important, lunch important, very good prasadam, super important. Maha offerings, you know, it's nice to live in that temple. And learning, you know, deity worship and cooking and this and that. Giving lectures and leading kirtans and bhajans. We learned all those things. Cleanliness and character, yes. Honesty, friendship, respect. And much of that, of course, you learn by, you know, just doing your devotional service there. After breakfast and the Bhakta class, we were serving. My service was washing pots, cleaning floors. And then they took me out for preaching, and I was proud that I was entrusted with that. Going on Harinam, preaching in megaphones on the streets of Stockholm, and traveling around selling books, and you know. All this spin-off projects can happen, but also, the way I see it now, we well, at least the gang I was hanging out in, we got it a bit wrong sometimes, and one was that we thought, well, you know, we're gonna be brahmachari all life. No women, no children, blah. Brahmachari ki jai, and then swamis, and we're the greatest, and look at me, I'm the most renounced and austere, and tapasya, yeah. But you know, rather seeing this brahmachari training, education, as we have said here, as a preparation for then your life and the society you live in here. Helping you to learn more about yourself, to be more self-realized, which helps you to set real goals in your life. What education am I going to take, and so on. But then, as we already spoke about, to be actually mature and somewhat ready for family life and for the social life out there and all of it. I mean, we learned a lot of social life, which you do when you live in an ashram with a whole bunch of other people, all kinds of different people, and you're so close and dependent on each other. Especially when you're out there on traveling on Sankirtan, selling books. It's a good training. So, but then also, for instance, I have understood there is a whole group of young devotees who are into serious education for filmmaking. Media production, and my sons, at least as it stands now, seem to be set on education in animation, filmmaking, game making, something around there, something media. So this is another vision I have, which I can talk about separately, but just to mention that there are all these offshoots, good things that can happen from such a brahmachari program. And you know, you get friends and you... For real, that's the point, that's the idea of it. That you can trust, and then there may develop cooperation. Companies may start up, run by devotees and giving jobs to devotees. And I am personally convinced that today, because I have studied on YouTube and modern media, and I have YouTube channels and all that, and I've been working book production for decades in my life, and I can see that there is a huge, I would say, a big future market for media production, especially, I would say, good stories. Because ultimately, I mean, when it comes down to it, we want entertainment, we want something inspiring, but we also want solutions, hope, answers to questions. And this is what we use media for. It used to be books and magazines, but now we have all these different media. So I would say both from the viewpoint of spreading the Sankirtan mission, which really means that, spreading knowledge and giving that hope and light and so on to people of this world. This something there would be the best Sankirtan 2.0 way to go. But also, I'm quite convinced, not by guesswork, but by just looking at the reality on YouTube, that there are plenty of people out there who earn a good, quite good income on producing sometimes quite good channels of content, sometimes very narrow niche, but the audience consists of billions of people. So I'm saying this now because I think this is very significant to see and very important, and something that the acharyas, you know, like Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, would immediately shout to us that use this. This is your chance to bring Krishna to every mind and heart of this planet. Because that's, you know, what is possible today. So many people walking around with little screens in their pockets, and all you need to do, at almost no cost, is to attract them to look at what you make, or what someone who you like makes. So yeah, I mean, so these kind of possible future corporations and projects, as I say, could be companies, foundations, whatever, networking. Syndicates, what do you call it when you have different networks connecting together, that can develop from there with devotees, because that's so much what is needed now. And I say that that's where Varnashram is. This Varnashram, this Sanatana Dharmic Society It's already here. We just need to step into it and learn and work in there. So yeah, a little bit about this, whatever it will be, playlist or podcast, and I think it's probably a playlist. We can have as many as we like in the Radio Krishna. Of Sweden, but then we could also make one in Priyavrata. Thank you, Hare Krishna.